Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and especially to our espresso level sponsors, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and for hosting our site, and to Expander Digital for both their sponsorship and providing SEO services to us. Now enjoy the episode. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk, where I get to talk to people all over this amazing WordPress community and all over the world. This morning, I'm actually recording in the morning, usually in the evening, but this morning, I'm not afraid to drink coffee because it's not even noon yet. But I'm happy to introduce to you today somebody that many of you will already have seen online, and this is Joe Casabona. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you today. Now, you asked me where I am before we got online. I can't remember where you are, so tell me where you're located.
This one is easy to forget because I've moved like four or five times in the last 6 years. So I'm currently near Westchester, Pennsylvania, a suburb outside of Philadelphia. But before, I've kind of worked my way downstate. I am originally from New York. And since you are from Rochester, you will know that when I say I'm from Orange County, New York, you know that that is not upstate New York.
It is not. It is downstate. But people on Manhattan would say, oh, so you're from upstate, huh?
Yeah. And I'd be like, no, upstate, if you've ever been to upstate, it's very different from Orange County. Like, it's still noisy. Like, upstate's very nice. Mm-hmm.
You can actually drive for hours and hours in upstate and not see a building.
Yeah, exactly. It's very idyllic up there.
Yeah, maybe some sugar huts for doing maple syrup, and that's about it. But thanks again for being here with me today. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it's always exciting. And I do love sometimes when I get out of my normal rut, which is always 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, these late night interviews. So it's great to have be a little bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to be able to talk to you today. So
awesome. Yeah. Are you a morning person or more of an evening person?
I pretend to be a morning person.
Gotcha. So I very much am a morning person.
See, I could stay up till 4 in the morning working.
Wow.
And then sleep until noon, or usually 10, but anyway. Yeah. But like this weekend I was at a WordCamp.
Right.
So you cannot sleep in the day of a WordCamp. Especially if you're the keynote and you're the first one going. So I got myself up real early on Saturday so that I would at least feel like I was a little bit later in the day.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. I don't want to like hijack your, I know we have
no,
questions.
No, go for it. We do. Yeah.
I always so I'm a morning person. I wake up at like 5:30 or 6 every morning.
Oh my God.
And
you actually see that thing called a sunrise.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's very nice. And it's not just since I became a parent either. I when I taught at the University of Scranton, I always made it a point to grab the Monday 8 a.m. slot because I wanted college freshmen to, I wanted to be their first impression of college. So they're like,
you wanted to torture them.
Exactly. They're barely alive. And I'm like, morning, everybody. And they're kill me. Like,
they're in their pajamas and you're like, I've been up for hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I joke about not knowing what a sunrise looks like. Of course, I've seen a sunrise, but I belong to a photography group online, and I actually asked somebody one day, like when I was early on in my photography career, I said, I posted in the group, I'm like, is there a way to tell by looking at the photo if it's a sunrise? I said, is there a way to tell if it's a sunrise or a sunset photo? And really, there isn't.
Okay,
because you don't know which direction you're. But one person responded, it depends on whether you're holding coffee or wine.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So there you go. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with WordPress.
All right. I am a developer, course creator, and podcaster in that order chronologically. So I've been making websites since high school, early 2000s. I've been using WordPress since 2004. After I got my master's degree at the University of Scranton in 2009, I started teaching and I realized I loved that. So I decided to kind of combine those things and teach WordPress development to people. Fast forward a couple of years later, that's my main business. I create online courses for how to build sites, mostly with WordPress. And then I have a podcast called How I Built It, where I interview people on how they've built their businesses. Again, a lot of people in the WordPress space, because that's my network. So I do mostly educational things these days, but educational stuff and development.
That's fantastic. I love teaching too. I was in higher education for over 20 years before I switched careers into WordPress. So,
wow, very nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff. So I usually tell people how I know you, and sometimes it's just through Twitter or things like that. I have to apologize to you because I actually Twitter shamed you last year.
Oh, did you?
We were at WordCamp US, mm-hmm. and I introduced myself to you. I was at the give table, and I introduced myself to you, and I said, I've been following you on Twitter for a long time, and you've never followed me back. And that was really rude, and I apologize.
No, that's no problem. I clearly was not hurt by it. I hope we follow each other now. I have I've been using lists a lot lately, even if it doesn't say follow, I'm still catching your tweets. So
you actually pulled out your phone right then and there and did it in front of me.
I've got to say, WordCamp US last year, there was a lot of Twitter shaming between me and other people happening because I was very vocal about some things, and people that I was vocal towards responded and I didn't expect them to respond. So there was a lot of Twitter drama with me last year.
I was just kind of catching you in the island, teasing you a little bit about it, but I'm glad that we're still friends.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I always say if someone is not willing to bust your chops, they probably, if somebody busts my chops, I know they like me, right?
So. Exactly. Exactly. And I'm happy that this is not our first time on camera together on the show, because I actually interviewed you recently for WordCamp US as well. So, we're all friends now. That's all there is to it.
We go way back. Yeah.
Way back, way back. So show us your mug and tell us what's in it.
So, this is
Star Wars.
Yes. Star Wars. This is a droids mug. I bought this at Disney World, at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. My brother works there. And he was able to get me into Galaxy's Edge before it officially opened to do a preview. Ooh. So I had to buy something. I am drinking Theodore's coffee. I'm in a coffee club with other WordPress people. And I really forget the name of the coffee, but it's dark chocolate and hints of tobacco. I'm a cigar smoker. So it's that coffee with some French vanilla creamer in it.
Now, this is the second time I've heard about this coffee club. I have got to get you. Send me the details later. I want to join. I want to send coffee
down right now.
I want to send coffee. I want to get coffee. That sounds like a really fun thing to be involved with. Yeah. And Lord knows I'm part of the WordPress community. So I see there's writing inside your mug too. Is that droid speak?
So this is oh my gosh. I tell people I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and now I'm going to forget the Arabesh. This is Arabesh. This is the non-English language in Star Wars. So there's a whole alphabet and language around it, and that's what this is.
Gotcha. There's a meme, a coffee meme, that says, this is not the latte you're looking for. And I had no idea what it meant. My future son-in-law is a huge Star Wars fan, so I texted it to him. I'm like, what is this referring to? I see it everywhere. He's like, oh, it's the quota. These are not the droids you're looking for. I'm like, it makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah. I used to think I was just the biggest Star Wars fan. And then I would go to events where people were wearing costumes, cosplay costumes that they spent thousands of dollars on. And I'm like, I just really like the movies. It's just in the extended universe, I read the books and stuff, but I'm definitely not the biggest Star Wars fan.
You're somewhere towards the top, but not that high, right?
Yeah. I'm more than most, but very bottom of the barrel for the hardcores.
Well, I saw the original trilogy in the theater when they came out, and that's kind of where it ends for me. So there you go.
Well, they are the best ones. People trash the prequels and the new ones that are coming out, but I just like Star Wars stories. So I will happily consume whatever Disney and Lucasfilm decides to put out.
I love it. That's awesome. Switching gears back to WordPress. Tell us how you got started with WordPress.
I was working in a computer lab in college with my friend Steve Mikosh, and I said, hey, I think I'm going to build a way for my student, my clients to manage their own content. And he said, have you heard of WordPress? And I was like, no. And I was a freshman in college at this point. I had just started programming, so I had no idea how to actually build a CMS. So he said, have you heard of this? And I'm like, yeah, no, I haven't. I looked it up. It was great. This was before WordPress had pages. So my first few client sites were the blog. And then I had PHP files in WordPress core because it was 2004 and like no, there were no standards. Mm-hmm. Or there were no well-known standards, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was like the first time I really started using WordPress. And then by 2006, 2007, all of my client sites were being built on top of WordPress.
That's awesome. I love WordPress. It's just, there's so much that you can do with it. And I think that, and it's been wonderful to watch it grow over time, which is really cool too.
Yeah. The evolution has been amazing as far as like standards go and features. Like when Pages got added in 2006, I was like, yes. This is amazing. So, and now with everything you can do, and it's still a growing industry, and that's part of the reason I decided to get into education is because, basically back then you would download WordPress and then FTP it, and then you would have to like code.
Right.
But now it's like, what page builder do I use? Or like, do I need this? How do I do that? So, it's been really fun seeing it evolve and then helping people get started today.
When I had a mentor that helped me learn WordPress, and he told me there's this thing called one button install, but that's not what I'm going to teach you. Mm-hmm. I teach you how to download it. I'm going to teach you how to change the files that you need to change. You change the information in the WP config file that you need to change. I'm going to show you how to find salt keys because I want you to understand how it works. And then, you know, you can always go back to the one button install, but understanding it, like the basics of it and like, that kind of thing was really helpful, I thought. So as a teacher, I'm like fascinated to hear your answers to half of my questions today. So The next question I always ask is, you know, what is something you think that we as, you know, the internet community should focus more attention on to make better, stronger websites for our users?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I think them all up all by myself.
So.
That's awesome. I love it because it's not one that often gets asked. And when I hear it or I think about it, the default answer I always go to is people say WordPress is easy, but it's only easy for people who use WordPress. And now that answer is evolving a little bit, right? Because maybe WordPress is a little easier now, right? You sign up for like SiteGround or whoever, whatever hosting company you feel is best for this show. And WordPress is there already, right? Like, and you just log in, you get an email automatically, and then you start. Or you have hosting companies that have like an onboarding process where you pick your theme and everything gets set up. But now it's like, oh, I heard of this page builder called Beaver Builder. Oh, I heard of this page builder called Elementor. And they do kind of different things. So I'm going to install both and use them both. And so now the WordPress is easy has evolved to now we need to show people how to do WordPress kind of the right way and not just, you know, you only need one hammer for the job, right? You don't need like 14 different hammers.
Right.
So I think the question more is how do I set up WordPress the right way? And not just the I found a bunch of tutorials online and I followed them all way.
And I have all the plugins.
Yeah, exactly. I've done audits on websites. So like my site's slow or is this right? Where I've seen Beaver Builder, Elementor, and Divi all installed on one website, multiple form builders, and then a bunch of different plugins for the LMS plugin that they were using. And it's just because somebody cobbled together this and they wanted to do a thing and they saw a tutorial and they saw they could easily do the thing they wanted to do with X. And so they installed it. And so that's the problem that I've been thinking about a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. And then throw in a bunch of media files that have not been downsized for web.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, as we record this, right, 5.3 is gearing up to help with that, which is really cool. I think that's going to be hugely helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I say a lot of times, I think that a future, and this is my suggestion, I haven't put it out there yet to the world, but I think one of the future iterations of WordPress should say, when you upload an image, not let you finish the process until you put the alt tags in. Like how much more accessible would it be if it just prompted you to do that whenever you added an image?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And because, I mean, it's easy to forget. I know I need to, and I forget sometimes too.
We all do.
Yeah. And so people who don't know they need to do that, And I'm going to say need to, right? Because like the Supreme Court thing with Domino's recently, like people don't know they need to do that. And all of a sudden now they could get in trouble for something that they had no idea about.
Right. Yeah. And what do they say? The ignorance is not a good defense. So yeah, you have to, you have to know the stuff. Yeah. What's something that you, I mean, you were an early adopter, so this might be an odd question for you, but think about at any point in your WordPress journey, is there something that you learned later on that you thought, gosh, I wish I'd known that sooner, because that would have made life a lot easier.
Ooh, man.
And if the answer is no, that's fine too, but.
Back up your website. That I learned the hard way to not do that, right? Because again, I was an early adopter. So I was using my first host, my first real host that wasn't like GeoCities, was a hosting company called JiffyNet. I don't know if they're around anymore, but they were super cheap and I was in college. And they didn't have any automatic anything, right? Because they were super cheap. And then even when I moved to DreamHost, right? This was like way before managed anything. So I remember like losing a website, and I think I had like the initial install files from like doing the local development. So like I lost a bunch of stuff. And so I learned the hard way, always have a backup. So I wish I knew, I wish I knew better back then. So, and now there are like lots of plugins, and I think that like hosting companies, I don't know if they all do it, but I think they should do that automatically.
I agree.
Right? So.
So basically you wish you had a teacher.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Cause that's the other thing, right? When I started, I didn't know any of the core contributors. I knew like, well, I knew of Alex King. He was the first kind of person I started following, and my friend Steve Mikosh. And even when I started like freelancing full time, that was after I graduated from college in 2007. Like there was not a lot of resources. Freelance Switch from Envato was like a new thing, but I'm lucky I had a entrepreneur mentor in his name is Joe Rizzi. He ran the deli that I worked for, because I am a New York Italian and I'm required by law to at least hold two stereotypical jobs. And so I worked at a deli. I also swept hair at a barber shop, so that's number two. But he helped me. He showed me the ropes for running a business and pricing and things like that. But it was the WordPress landscape as far as freelancing goes was still very new. So
for sure. When you think back over all of the meetups and WordCamps and WordPress events that you've attended, and I know there's been quite a few of them, like myself. Is there a moment or two that for you is like a pivotal moment, or, you know, kind of like the angel saying, as I like to say, that something like that where you just thought this was worth being here for? And what was it?
Well, the first WordCamp I attended was WordCamp New York City 2008. I think it was 2008. Matt Mullenweg showed up, and I just thought, wow, that's cool. Like the guy who invented WordPress, right? Like showed up and talked to this relatively small WordCamp. And some of the people I met there, I'm still friends with today. And I think that is like consistently the takeaway, right? That's why I spend my own money to go to WordCamps, is because my network has been built considerably, and I've made friends, I've made business partners, and my business certainly wouldn't be where it is today. And I wouldn't have been able to go out full time a couple years ago. I don't know if I'll get to this story, but I mean, like, my daughter was 3 months old when I started my own business full time. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without the people that I met through WordCamps and WordPress events.
Yeah, I agree. It's an amazing community for sure. I have my job with Give because I was speaking at a WordCamp.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that way. So tell us a little bit about your courses that you offer and how you're doing them. And are they in person, online? How are you putting that all together?
They are online courses. And it's another kind of hard lesson, right, I've learned you don't just build, like, it's not doing stuff online these days isn't really field of dreams marketing, right? You can't just build it and they'll come. Right. There are a lot of ways to validate an idea, And I never really did any of that. I really just started doing it like this year, to be honest, or last year maybe. But I tried doing online or in-person courses, and I was living in Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is about 2 hours from both New York City and Philadelphia. Very nice. See that? Rocking the office mug. Yeah.
World's best boss, Dunder Mifflin. Sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. So I tried doing in-person classes, and I got people who came from like the Microsoft world who were like willing to spend way less than I was than what Microsoft was charging to teach people WordPress. But like the first event was like a $20 event, and people were like, why would I pay for this when I can get it for free on YouTube? And I'm like, I don't know. So I wanted to increase, my reach, and online courses is the way to do that. And so, now I'm doing, you can buy the courses a la carte, or you can sign up for a membership, where annually you'll get access to all of the courses and updates and office hours and, you know, the community aspect of it. If you buy a course a la carte, you'll get lifetime updates for that course only. And I've done a lot of thinking about it this year. I read Building a Story Brand by Don Miller, a super helpful book, and it really helped me hone exactly what I want to teach. And because I was just kind of like making courses for stuff I knew how to do. And if you're doing a membership, like that's not really the best way to do it. And so I have a couple of flagship courses. One is going to be my podcasting course. One is my Beaver Builder course, and one is my Gutenberg course. And in 2020, to add value for the membership, I'm going to do a course on Astra. I'm going to do a course on a forms builder. I haven't decided which one yet. But the idea is that you sign up for the membership, you get these discrete courses where you can take them individually, or you can go through a whole curriculum, and by the end, you can have a really good understanding of building a website without code. And then the membership aspect of that is that once you start doing stuff on your own, you'll have access to me, and I can guide you through those specific problems.
That's really cool. Yeah. I love it. And I love the model that you've built. I think it's great when you can do something a la carte, because maybe people just really do need that one class, or that's what they can afford to begin with. But the subscription model is really, really fascinating too. So are you using an LMS on a WordPress site to do those?
Yes, I'm using LearnDash. I love LearnDash. I've been on them basically since I started making online courses. I was going to do Sensei for WooCommerce. This was kind of before the ball got picked up for Sensei again. And I was talking to Justin Ferriman, the founder of LearnDash, and he asked if I had tried it. He gave me a free trial version. And like immediately, the things that I was coding, like custom, were built into LearnDash already. So I ditched Sensei. I've been using LearnDash ever since. And actually, if you are a LearnDash user and you're thinking, hey, this guy sounds familiar, I do the bootcamp videos in LearnDash 3.0. So huge fan. I'm doing LearnDash with WooCommerce for the e-commerce stuff. And then I'm using WooCommerce memberships and WooCommerce subscriptions for the membership aspect. So all of those put together gives me exactly what I need. And I know like, right, it sounds like I'm using a lot of big things. I am, but I did, you know, because I have the knowledge of not just reading a tutorial, I knew these things would work together. I knew how to appropriately test and things like that. So,
yeah, and you're using tools that other people can use without having to be developers as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll say, like, I don't like to say this is easy or like you should just be able to do it, but setting up the memberships and subscriptions with WooCommerce memberships and WooCommerce subscriptions was easier than I expected it to be.
That's great.
And so I was able to do it in a short amount of time. I tested, right? That's the really important part of if you're going to be a site builder without coding, you're still going to spend that time testing and making sure that each membership level works the way you expect it to, the subscriptions are working the way you expect them to. So you still need to test. That's why if somebody says like, oh yeah, I could set up a membership site in an hour, you can put all the components together, right? You can build a house in a short amount of time, but the house isn't livable until somebody moves in. So definitely test.
And then of course you got to get your SEO, you got to do your marketing, all those things. Cause like you said, it's not if you build it, they will come.
Yeah. Yes. And that is 100% the hardest part for me. Like I'm a developer at heart. Right. And I'm like, I built a good thing and people should know that it's good. And if it's good, they'll use it. But that's not, always the case.
Like, they're not psychic. They don't know.
Right. Exactly. And so I was at Cabo Press a couple weeks ago, and Sean Hesketh of WP 101 gave a fantastic, hosted a fantastic session about storytelling. And I work closely with Sean. So this is like definitely a reflection on me that I'm not the sponge that I feel I should be sometimes. But, you know, he talks about telling stories and how the story, the hero's journey, right, that Don Miller also talks about. The story is not about how great your product is. The story is about the problem that you're solving for your customers. And so I finally made a promo video for Creator Courses where I tell the story of, hey, you're trying to do something and you're like Googling tutorials on YouTube, but like, how do you know it's good? Or how do you know it'll work? Well, for a nominal fee, you can sign up for Creator Courses and you'll know it's good. And you'll know it's because I've been doing this for decades at this point. So
yeah, there's a couple that comes to our local meetup, and they've been coming for years. They're like diehard. He's actually speaking at WordCamps now, and their business has nothing to do with web. Their business, he creates things with wood, like drop spindles and things like that. And she's a quilter. So they have these, you know, physical products that's selling, but he's speaking at WordCamps now about the community. He has a talk called Crap, I Need a Website. Now what do I do? Like, you know, and he's given that one in a couple, two or three places. And he learned how to build their first websites from YouTube. The very first YouTube he came upon, he watched it. He bought the theme they told him to buy. He like literally stepped through the entire thing. Let's just say he was lucky because it worked, you know? I mean, they've redesigned their site over the years and they're using different products and things. And actually they've used some of the things I've recommended to them because I'm the one leading the meetup and I can help support them if they're using things I know. Right. But and their sites have grown and look really great, but you're right. It's like, how do you know that that's a good YouTube to follow? You know, how do you know any of it? So,
and like, if you run into problems, like, will that YouTuber support you? Right. That's the other thing. Right. And if you're just setting up an informational site, like I've made videos like that for Winning WP, where it's like an hour and a half long video and we do everything. Like we buy the hosting, we pick the domain, we set up the theme and all that. And if you're looking for that exact experience, like you'll have an easier time just like kind of following that tutorial. But if you want to deviate at all, or like you've heard bad things about the host they recommend, what do you do now? You know, then that's where maybe a YouTube tutorial is not the best thing for you, right? Or if you want to do anything more complicated than that, if you want to make pieces fit together, then what do you do? So,
or now with, you know, with the block editor, how do I know that the YouTube I'm looking at has actually integrated any of that together? And I get into my site and I'm really confused. So
Yeah, absolutely.
So sometimes, actually most of the times, it's worth paying for what you're learning. Education should cost you something because those are the people who are actually investing.
Yeah, for sure. And a little bit of investment on your part will pay dividends, right?
Absolutely.
You know, my courses aren't nearly this price, but I just paid, I think, $700 for a podcast course from Pat Flynn, Amped Up Podcasting. And it's not how to get started. It's kind of, you've already started, now how do you make it better? And I'm implementing things that I know for sure will give me a return on that investment. So it was worth the money to me. Plus, you know, a little bit of market research to see like, oh, how's he do his course? But the stuff I learned, I know will pay dividends on in the near future. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let me move into what I call rapid fire questions. They're not really rapid fire. I just like to feel like I'm James Lipton inside the actor studio asking all those questions at the end.
Awesome.
So, what are two or three must-have plugins, either by name or by type, that you recommend to somebody who's building their own website?
By type, a forms plugin. Because WordPress doesn't come with that, and that's probably the most fundamental core piece of functionality that doesn't come out of the box with WordPress. So that's a type. A plugin that I always recommend is Beaver Builder. If you're looking for a page builder, not for everything, but if you want to build a really nice homepage, maybe a really nice landing page for that service or product you want to offer, I love Beaver Builder for that. So I build out all my landing pages with Beaver Builder, and it's been a very enjoyable experience for me.
Well, that's awesome. And do you also recommend a backup plugin, or are you leaving it to the host and making sure your host is doing backups?
What a fantastic follow-up. All of my hosts do automatic backups, but that doesn't really follow the appropriate 3-2-1 rule of backups, right? You should have, I think, 3 different backups on 2 different mediums and 1 offsite. So I am breaking that rule. I am not doing any backup plugins, but my hosting companies are very diligent about, you know, I use Liquid Web for all of my really important sites. And I think they do like hourly backups, and they're definitely offsite because like a restore takes a really long time. So I'm not. If you are looking for a good backup plugin, Backup Buddy is what I use for my client sites who are on hosts that don't do automatic backups.
So if your host went down, even if your host was just like decimated, you know that they've got redundancy built in because it's Liquid Web.
Yeah, for sure. And like they make it really clear, like. Because the first time I had to do a restore, it's because I messed something up. And I talked to support. I'm like, this is taking a really long time. And they're like, yeah, your backup is like not on the same server. It's somewhere very different. So like we need to kind of take down. Yeah. Yeah.
They do that on purpose. That's the right way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So. And like they're one of the few hosting companies that are properly HIPAA compliant. Like if you pay for that, which is very expensive. I've actually toured their like server rooms much as somebody can. I've actually seen their hardware set up and how they do things, and I trust that if just their machine like catches fire or something, my site's still gonna be fine.
Yeah, that's awesome. Redundancy is so important, and I'm gonna guess that 15 years ago Jiffy Web probably didn't have that built in. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess Jiffy Web was running every website on the same machine. Like that's what I'm gonna guess.
And they weren't partitioned or anything. They were all
right. This is like before Docker was a thing, right? Like they were just like, oh, we'll create a bunch of different folders or whatever. That's what I'm guessing. Exactly. Not to knock them. I mean, you get what you paid for, and they were exactly what I needed. But
it was earlier on the web too.
Exactly. So. Let's just say I wouldn't recommend something like that for a mission critical website today.
Gotcha. I appreciate that input for sure. Yeah. So the next question I ask is about mentorship. Now you did talk a little bit about your mentor already. Have you had any other WordPress specific mentors at all in your journey, even if it wasn't kind of an official relationship? And who was it?
Yeah, this is a good question because I don't think I can point to a specific WordPress developer who was a mentor of mine. Steve Mikosh, my friend from college, helped me a lot with HTML and CSS. And like he saw I was using FrontPage and made sure that I started using Notepad, which was a thing that people still didn't do. Like they'd be like, right. What do you use? Dreamweaver? And I'm like, Notepad. And they're like, what? But for other WordPress related stuff, Sean Hesketh has been a big help, with creating courses and doing good videos, and his are the best in the business. In the WordPress education space, there's nobody better. And Chris Lemma, not in official capacity, but because we smoke cigars together a lot, and I go to his, I go to Cabo Press. He's offered me some really incredible advice. So I'm certain that there are more people. But they're top of mind because I just saw them last week. So
there you go. Yeah, Chris is a wealth of information.
Yeah, I know, like about everything. Like it's crazy, right? Like usually people who talk a lot talk because they're trying to mask the fact that they don't know anything. But like with Chris, it's like he's talking about something, he knows it. He knows it very well.
He's dealing information. I love when you see him at a WordCamp and it's like he's holding court because people are just like waiting for him to drop pearls of wisdom. It's phenomenal. I need to get him on the show. We got to get him on the show here. Got to find a way to maybe send him some good cigars or something.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way. So, and he'll be at WordCamp US, I think, right?
Yeah, I think he usually is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know he will be for sure if he's speaking. So other than the people you've mentioned, is there somebody in the WordPress community that you admire and why? And I'm sure there's plenty, but think of one or two.
Is there somebody I admire and why? This answer is, I think it's going to come a little bit out of left field because I don't talk to her very often. But Sarah Dunn, I just think she's like super cool. And I really admire what she's doing with like niching down and how she's been so open about the process. And also, whenever we get together, she asks me about my fountain pen obsession. And so anybody who asks me about like one of my weird niche obsessions always like has a special place in my heart. She was the first one that came to mind. And I just think she's doing some really cool stuff, and I love how open she is about her process.
That's awesome. Well, shout out to Sarah then. Yeah. That's great. I love it. What's something that you still want to learn in WordPress, but you haven't tackled yet?
Everything, like so many things. I'm working on a new course for, I think I could say this. Well, yeah, I'm working on a new course for lynda.com or LinkedIn Learning. There's a section about technologies that you should know. And I talk about like React and automated testing and build tools. And those are things that I only really superficially know. I know enough to tell people about them and tell them what they are, but I haven't dug deep into any of them yet. So if I had to prioritize those, I'm going to say React first, because I haven't learned React yet. And it's becoming...
Listening, React is really has a lot to do with building blocks for the Gutenberg experience.
Yeah, exactly. And as more and more of the WordPress dashboard becomes reliant on React, it'll be even more important. So I know JavaScript, I know enough to be dangerous, but I don't know any React yet. And it's because like the first time I tried to set it up, it was like, install all these things and now you're ready to start installing React. And I'm like, I don't like that at all. I think there are better tools now to help you. So
I want a one button install for React, please.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't want to sound like an old guy here, but when I started making websites, like I just had to open up Notepad and write CSS and HTML and it worked. Now you need like a build tool to composer things and compile SAS and whatever. So like, I don't know.
I had to use Notepad uphill both ways in the snow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When something broke, I didn't know about it until I viewed it in my browser. Like, and they're good, like linters are amazing, but you can get a little bit of tool fatigue, especially because like I learned Angular, and then like as soon as I learned Angular, people like check out React, and I'm like, but I just learned Angular. So I like to wait long enough to make sure the thing I'm learning is good. And
I'm not a developer by any stretch of the imagination. I know CSS and I know HTML, and that's about it. And like you say, enough to be dangerous, right? But I learn all these tools because I work for a plugin company now, and I'm talking to developers on a regular basis. And we have a weekly meeting where we all kind of report out what we're doing. And I write things down that I want to look up later because I don't want to sound like an idiot. But I recently heard the word linting, and I was like, is that taking the stuff out of your dryer? Like, I don't know what that even means. So for people who aren't developers, can you explain just in a nutshell what linting is?
For sure. I don't know what it stands for. But linting is basically a tool that checks to make sure your HTML or PHP or JavaScript is formatted appropriately, right? So it's a little bit of a syntax checker. And make sure that you don't have anything like missing semicolons that could break your code, or it can get even more granular. And so when I was at CrowdFavorite, one of our coding standards was to alphabetize our CSS selectors, right? So you'd have to do like border before font family, right? Just like forgot the alphabet for a second. So you could set up a linter to check that and then say, hey, your CSS selectors aren't alphabetized. So
right.
It's an automated way to uphold coding standards and do syntax checking, which for developers saves us a lot of time because now a person doesn't have to look at that and go, hey, you're like, does O come before A in the alphabet? Yeah, you need to redo your CSS selector. So.
Right. And for things like missing semicolon, it's not like looking for that needle in the haystack either.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, you're not looking at your code going, what? Why isn't this working?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go back and try to reformat things because you don't know where it is and all that
kind of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
So I love my little list where I go and I look things up afterwards. Somewhere on the internet, it'll tell me what that means. What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made, and what did you learn from it? I know you said about not having backups. Maybe there's another one in there somewhere.
Yeah, I made updates to, like, I changed core more often than I should have. Even like when I knew you shouldn't. And I've also made changes to themes and plugins after automatic updates rolled out. Or maybe not after automatic updates rolled out, but after I was able to update through the dashboard. Mm-hmm. And so updating core, like, lots of warnings about that now, but like with plugins or themes, like if you make a customization to it, right? And I still see developers do that, right? Like, oh, I just want to change this little piece of CSS, or I want to tweak this theme file, and they do it directly to the theme. When you update, you're going to lose those updates, right? So that's why we have the structure for child themes. Or if you want to modify a plugin, right? You can. What I'll recommend people do is, and fair warning, if you do this, you're like paying for support, it's probably not going to be supported, right? You're modifying the code now. But like, if you like found a plugin, let's say on the WordPress repo, and you want to make a small change to it, make a copy of that folder and rename it and rename the plugin, and now it won't automatically get updated. Right. But, and here's my backend buyer beware, when updates do roll out, it's not going to get updated. So if there's a security update, then you're going to have a problem.
Right.
But if you, like, in a pinch, if you really need to do something, I've done that before. So
there are ways just to do it. Yeah.
Be aware of those two cautions, right? So you'll lose support and you won't get updates. And so if there's like a security update, you're not going to get that.
Right. Or even functional updates, you're not going
to get. Yeah, right. For sure. Like, yeah.
Why isn't it doing that new thing? Well, because you didn't actually update it.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. And you're not being told it needs to get updated because you renamed it. So.
Yeah, exactly. I love that the theme customizer now, the WordPress is built in that CSS area. So
yes.
you don't have to have a child theme just to change the color of a button or a font, for example, which makes it a lot nicer. Surely you still have to have that if you're going to have, change your footer files and anything that has to do with PHP, but it is nice that you can do some quick edits without worrying about those getting overwritten right there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's super great for doing, if I need to customize CSS, I'll generally do it there. It just another fun fact, right? Something that you might not think of unless you've experienced it is, make sure you're being specific enough in your selectors that you are, I keep saying the word selector and I'm like really nervous. It's not the right one because I haven't looked up that term in a long time. But the part of the CSS where you're targeting,
the part before the curly brace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Make sure your selector is specific enough that you're not overriding other parts. And if you use a CSS minifier, like maybe you use WP Rocket or some other optimizing plugin, you might lose some of those changes in the fray. So the CSS gets minified and then the cascade kind of messes things up. So just be aware of those two things.
Exactly. And if you don't know if you get to the bottom and you're just completely frustrated, go to your local meetup. Somebody there will be able to help you, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love meetups. Yeah. What is your proudest WordPress moment?
Ooh, my proudest WordPress moment. Before I answer this, I do want to go back because I kept calling properties selectors when I said they needed to be alphabetized. I said, like background and border are selectors, but they're not, they're properties. So I'm sorry for that. That's like a breaking news fix. My proudest WordPress moment, this is kind of a humble brag, I guess, but I wrote a book called Building WordPress Themes for Scratch from Envato. It was my first ever book and I was very excited because that was like a life goal of mine that I achieved at like 20 something. There was a picture of me in that book about the author, and somebody came up to me at a WordCamp and they said, are you Joe Casabona? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I'm reading your book right now. And like, they pulled it out and like, they showed me how they knew I was me. And I thought, man, that's so weird and also amazing. And that was really the first time it happened to me. And since then, like, people have said the same thing about my other book, Responsive Design with WordPress. Like I learned WordPress because of you. And that, more than doing some cool plugin or whatever, like, that has a long lasting effect. That's why I'm a teacher. And as long as I can keep doing that, like, I'll be a very happy person.
That is very cool. Now, see, I would have totally trolled the person and go, oh my gosh, that is me. How did I get in there?
I was so flabbergasted that, like, I just couldn't think. I'm like, this person knows who I am because of something I did. That's so weird. Like,
well, humble brag, I wrote a book two years ago called A Good Firm Handshake and Other Essential Business Tips. So it isn't WordPress, but it's business related.
I will definitely check that out because people need to know a good firm handshake. Like,
exactly. There's nothing worse than a wimpy handshake. Yeah. I'll bring a copy to WordCamp US for you.
Yes. You have to sign it for me, please.
Of course. You should Excellent. Bring me one of yours as well.
Deal.
We'll trade. Let's see. So if you weren't working in web and web technology, so take internet off of the table, what career might you like to attempt?
I think about this all the time because I can't do anything with my hands. Like, I can't build things with my hands. Woodworking, you mentioned, like, that's so cool because I wish I could do it. And I've narrowed it down to two or three different fields. I was in drama club in grammar school and high school, which is probably shocking to no one if you know me. And so, like, maybe an actor, but, like, that's hard to get into, right? The other thing I was really into was drawing. So I think, you know, if I was forced to choose, I would say animator. I'd be an animator, which that's still cool. uses computers today, but it's not like web programming. It's very different. So
incredibly different. That's really cool. Actually, I thought you were going to say set design for a minute.
Yeah, no, it's, I thought about it, right? Cause I play the drums, but, like, I'm not particularly good at that. That's just a fun hobby of mine. But I've always enjoyed the animation process. Walt Disney is, somebody that I think is incredibly interesting, and he, you know, he and his company revolutionized animation, and it's always been interesting to read about for me. So I think I'd be an animator. Cool. Yeah.
And you're the first person to give that answer. I love it.
Yes.
That's so cool.
What are common answers? And, like, not that I'm interviewing the interviewer, but what are the common answers?
I love when people ask me questions back. Yeah. So a lot of answers are either teacher or musicians. Some people will say they'd be a musician. Nice. Teacher, a lot of people stick into technology, but in other areas, things like that. Yeah. Yeah. So every once in a while, somebody will come up with something really different. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's, I thought, like, if I grew up in the 50s, right, like, the technology of the time in the 50s, like, the common technology was, like, mechanic, like, you were, like, people were modifying cars, and, like, maybe I would do that, but if I am, even in that time frame, as bad with my hands as I am now, like, I would never make it as a mechanic.
I love it. Although, I'm sure the parts were bigger back then, too, because the cars
Yeah, for sure. Like, and, like, I'm sure they weren't nearly as complicated as they are today, right. But, like, still, like, I'm, like, I built a bookshelf for my daughter yesterday, and I'm just, like, this is all predetermined stuff, and I'm, like, measuring the drill hole, and what do I do, but... It worked out, yeah. But
just make sure it's anchored to the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
Yes. And so awesome. Like, you know, it takes me longer than I'd like it to, and that frustrates me.
I understand. And I love when you have to put, like, you're trying to hold all four sides up together to put the screws and things in, and you're like, how do you do this with two hands? I need like five people to hold this together for me.
Yep. And, like, that, my wife was helping me, right? But even at times, like, she was, like, trying to help me, but she was, like, pulling it in the wrong, and I'm not good at giving instruction, right? This is not her fault. I'm not good at in these situations telling you what I need, because I barely know what I need to do. Okay. So at one point I just looked at her, I'm like, what are you doing? She was like, I'm gonna walk away now. And I'm like, okay, sorry.
So for the record, when you say you're not good at giving instruction, you don't mean teaching WordPress. You mean specifically building shelves.
Exactly. If I know what I'm doing, I can teach it. But, like, when I'm building something and I'm, like, looking at the instructions and they're just, like, pictures, because people, like, words are apparently too expensive now. And I don't know what I need to do. So I can't possibly tell somebody else what to do for me. So.
My mother always said the quickest way to a divorce is to hang wallpaper together. So I completely understand.
That's fantastic.
Which is why paint is so important nowadays instead yes. of wallpaper.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's something on your bucket list?
Oh, man, something on my bucket list, like not related to WordPress or anything like that?
It doesn't matter, just your bucket list in general.
Oh, man, I missed this question. I didn't think about it. Something on my bucket list, I like to travel a lot. And so I would love to, you know, I've been to Italy, I've been all over the United States, but I've never been to the Grand Canyon. So I'd love to go to the Grand Canyon. That's like fairly achievable though, if you travel yeah. a lot. But I think I'm going to go with that because just like it's something I haven't done that I'd love to do. Oh, and see Metallica in concert. That's okay. like, they were like my, like one of my first favorite bands and I've never seen them. And so that's also on my bucket list. And, unfortunately I think one's going to be around a lot longer than the other. So I better get on that.
I was just going to say that if you're going to prioritize those, you might want to yeah. go with one of them that has an expiration date.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
but you yeah. know, you could combine WordCamp Las Vegas and turn that's it into a business trip and see the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. There you go. Right. Or like, I like going to Pressnomics too. Like you're closer yeah. than I am now. I would like to take my family yeah. and I feel weird bringing my family to WordCamps and like other conferences because I feel the pull to be with them, but also to make the most of my money and my time. Yeah. So
I can yeah. completely understand that for sure. So, yeah. Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not know about.
Oh, a hidden talent. Let's see. Well, I've mentioned that I'm in drama club. Or I did drama club, so I'm an actor. And I've mentioned that I play the drums. Something that I haven't told a lot of people is that, are you familiar with the musical Hamilton? Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I was well practiced in listening to the soundtrack a lot, I could do the Lafayette rap. Right. Oh, cool. And so, yeah. So like I did that. I would do it all the time and I did it really quickly. And when he got really fast, I would also get really fast. So with a moderate amount of practice, I can do like pretty fast raps. Rap God by Eminem still eludes me. That's very difficult.
Can you do that part of the Bare Naked Ladies with the Chinese chicken? Can you do that whole thing?
Oh yeah. I'll have to listen to it, but I can definitely do it. Find me. I will listen to it before WordCamp US and we can do like a follow-up video.
It's a date. We'll have coffee together there too then.
Sounds good.
So yeah. Tell us how we can find you online. People can follow you on Twitter, your website, all of that. Give us the deets.
Yeah, so I am Jay Casabona on most social networks, Twitter and Instagram. I've been doing a lot more Instagram stories lately, so I've been digging on that. And I think the best place to kind of see what I'm up to is my podcast. If you go to howibuilt.it, you'll see the latest episodes. You'll see some of the other resources that I'm promoting over there. And you can get in touch, so check it out there.
Awesome. And I love podcasters supporting podcasters, being on each other's shows. It's a whole lot of fun to share that. So thank you so much for being with me being here with me today. And this is going to air. I've got lots of episodes in the hopper, I guess. I don't know how to say yeah. that.
I've got. Yeah, that's generally what I'll say, in the hopper. In the hopper.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this will definitely air after WordCamp US. So it was nice to see you there.
Nice to see you at WordCamp US. Yeah.
But realistically, it is less than 2 weeks away. It's about a week and a half away. And holy cow. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, man, so anyway. That didn't dawn on me. I'm glad that we were supposed to do our slides early because I have those done and I practiced already. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
and what was your topic on then?
Well, I gave a talk on how to give a rock solid talk to contribute to WordPress. So it went really well. And,
I heard so many good things about it.
Yeah. So, and I think lots of people are going to contribute to WordPress in 2020 by giving talks.
And if you happen to miss it, go to wordpress.tv, look up Jay Casabona, and you will find it there.
Yes. Yeah. Those get online pretty quickly, right?
They do. They really do. Yeah. They prioritized, I believe. So.
Yes. Very nice.
So thank you again for being here, for having coffee with me this morning. And I do look forward to seeing you very soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Goodbye. Coffee Talk will end and we'll see you later.
WP Coffee Talk with Michelle Frechette is a proud supporter of WP and Up. whose mission is to support and promote positive mental health within the WordPress community. Visit their website at wpandup.org.